doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny. But yo,
welcome back to RBKD. It is a Way Back Rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day. And my man Patrick doing a great job once again throwing it back. How about this, man? The Humpty Hump. Man, that's, I did not expect this one. Digital Underground.
Rest in peace.
Where Tupac started. Oh, yeah, you're right. He did.
I actually
recently.
Got that one right.
He did recently pass away.
I say that with every hip hop artist.
Yeah, Shock G.
Shock G.
It was also his alter ego was Humpty Hump. Spoiler. It was him.
You missed the story.
But yeah, people forget Tupac started out with Digital Underground.
That, yeah, I always forget that.
As like a background dancer, and then they gave him a shot on, man, what song was it, Patrick?
I don't remember. I remember that he was a background dancer. Because there was that terrible Dan Aykroyd movie with Chevy Chase. And, were in where there's like a, it's where Dan Aykroyd has the a phallic nose, the judge, and Chevy Chase gets locked in this house. It's just a weird movie.
Wow.
When did this come out? I don't think I ever saw it.
And Digital Underground's in it, and Tupac is a backup dancer in that movie. It's just a weird movie.
I do kind of remember this because I think I saw it like on, maybe on like his biopic. Maybe he's not a biopic, but like his, the documentary about him.
Yeah.
Man, okay, I'm mad at myself. My black card is in question right now. Yeah. Okay, I think I can find it here. Okay, yeah, I'll find it later. I apologize. I should know that. But anyway, but he was, Nothing But Trouble. Nothing But Trouble.
That is it. That
Ricky.
Is it.
I don't think I ever saw
my
that.
My man Ricky. How about that? Ricky Brandon, shout out. Yeah, Nothing But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble. Yeah, I can, Kevin, we can show you a picture of Dan Aykroyd in that movie, and if you don't know it from that, you won't know it. But just look up Dan Aykroyd, Nothing But Trouble, and you will see what we mean about him in that movie.
Okay.
Oh, man. No, I did not see this.
It's a real weird movie.
Yeah. Did I miss anything?
Not really, but Digital Underground.
Oh, so, I have seen that. I do have seen this because I remember that character.
Yeah.
Wow. Demi Moore's in that thing?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a weird movie.
That is a weird movie. Got good stars, though. I mean, that's a nice cast. I like the cast
and
of it.
Digital Underground just randomly, like there's a scene, there's a court in it, and then Digital Underground just comes out and does the Humpty Dance. Like, for no reason.
My man, Ricky Brennan says, terrible movie.
Terrible movie.
Ricky, it looks like a terrible movie. I'm glad someone drops the truth.
Oh, man, you know what? That's a random reference that wow.
Dan Aykroyd, I remember hearing this years ago. I think he was talking about Dragnet, but he said he's never watched one of his movies. Which he's probably lying about that.
He's never watched a Dan Aykroyd movie?
He doesn't rewatch his movies.
Oh, he doesn't rewatch them?
He does them, but then he doesn't watch
them. Oh, so he never watches them, basically.
That's what he claimed.
Never? I guess that's possible. That's possible. I guess that is possible.
It's possible.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but I guess it's possible. And maybe he's got like, kind of quirk about it where he can't. Like I know some radio people don't like to listen to themselves on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's like they're like, I don't want to watch myself. Makes me feel weird. Could be like that.
Could be that.
Anyway, all right, let's get back to some sports conversation here, even though that was a very compelling pop culture conversation. Learned a lot there. Thank you, Patrick. And it's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. You want to follow him. He is the our co-host here today and producer, but also he is the host of Ensign Serious, which you hear on Monday
gotta
nights right
out here
on 104.9 The Horn. Yeah, it's always great stuff. But you can follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse and my man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. This little nugget dropped on us, and before we get to, because I know we want to get to some conversation here about the Texans and I know, and also Pro Football Focus had their all pro team through this point in the season. So I want to get to that. We'll also drop a little Texans conversation out there. But this actually dropped recently. Got it via Twitter. Shout out to at SSN _ Longhorns. Florida is expected to hire Corey Raymond.
Oof.
The LSU DB coach as their assistant head coach of defense and their cornerbacks coach.
God, I've been asking for a year going back to last year with
this.
And certainly the last couple weeks with what's going on, or since Ed O, we've talked about it on this show, that if you want to upgrade Corey Raymond, no one as a cornerback coach has a better resume than he does. Or at least more stars
on
the wall.
No, I think he's got as much street cred as any cornerback or DB coach out there right now. You can put his resume against anybody's.
So
and I, Wow, I thought he was, a lot of people were saying they thought he was a lifer, so to speak, at LSU. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Moffitt, similarly, the strength and conditioning coach, Moffitt left, and he had been there through, what, three different head coaches?
Yeah, you can
multiple
be a,
national titles.
You can be a lifer, and then you can meet Brian Kelly.
That's, it seems like that's kind of happening. This is weird. I mean, you got two guys people consider to be, oh, no, they're definitely going to be retained because they're lifers and their reputation and resume in college football is unquestioned. Like, yeah. Everybody knows.
They also know the lay of the,
they know the lay of the land,
recruiting, and
you're
everything. Coming down here. You don't.
And you
even
did.
Though you talk like you do.
Family. And you didn't retain your OC or your DC. They didn't want to follow you. And now he's having a hard time even building the staff because he's having a hard time retaining some of the coaches or in strength and conditioning, some of the staff that are already there.
They'll spend the money, but it's not a great start. It's just that. I mean, I think Brian Kelly's a good football coach, so I think he'll get it together, but we'll see. It's always talk about that first staff and really getting it rolling. This also could obviously clearly affect this early signing day.
And also, I mean, let's relate this to Texas like we do everything. You know, you talked about when Terry Joseph got the gig here that your sources weren't really, they were happy. Actually, I would say they weren't thrilled, but they were happy, actually, that he was gone. And turns out they were happy because they didn't feel like he was able to maximize the talent in the secondary there. And similarly here at Texas, as the pass game coordinator, I think the defense has struggled being able to connect the coverages to the fronts and the pressures, and that actually is part of SPK's job, but also a part of Terry Joseph's job as a pass game coordinator.
Yeah, we heard some Terry Joseph stuff early on when Brian Kelly got the job. I would love for him to hire Terry Joseph.
That's been the word on the street that he may want to bring Terry Joseph back, and now he lost his cornerbacks coach.
Right.
So
it's open.
It's open.
And Terry Joseph, in fairness to him, he knows Louisiana.
Can he recruit
it actually would be a good fit if BK likes him as a technical coach.
Well, he obviously does. He had him there. He didn't fire him.
He didn't.
Terry Joseph left.
Right.
On his own.
So maybe he takes him. That would open up a spot for Texas.
Oh, man, that'd
be
so
GP,
perfect.
You going with a sweater?
I think you go Gary Patterson there. That'd make it easy.
Turn the AC down.
It being reported by, I think my man Jeff Howe threw it out there, trying to say, yeah, you don't want him to sweat out there.
Yeah.
Right? You want him to stay fresh. Put
a bunch of towels under his desk.
Right? But no, my man Jeff Howe, we talked about it on Longhorn Blitz, and he said, you know, the sources are saying that Gary Patterson does not want to be an analyst, that he wants a larger role, doesn't want to be a head coach, but also doesn't want to be relegated to just being an analyst, that he actually would like to be an on-field either coordinator potentially or a position coach that has a lot of clout, and that would probably mean like a pass game coordinator. He'd be perfect for that role if Terry Joseph vacates it, and then you could, you know, pay him what he wants to be paid. And I think Gary Patterson will be great now without having to worry about, you know, obviously running a program from the top down as the head coach, and now he's focused on being the pass game coordinator, basically the co-defensive coordinator.
And cornerback coach.
And cornerback coach. Oh, man, I'd take that all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
make it happen.
They got to go get Terry Joseph first.
All right. No. Texas can do this. Just all you got to do is call Brian Kelly and say, you know, Terry Joseph is still here. You need to. They did it for Shaka. Shaka a job.
Isn't that two on the nose?
Didn't they get Shaka again?
Yeah, it did.
They basically got Shaka again. Like, hey, Shaka, we want you to land on your feet because we like you.
Right.
And say, Terry Joseph, we like you. Want you to land on your feet. Mm-hmm. So go play matchmaker. Go make sure that happens.
Yeah, you usually just don't play matchmaker with your girlfriend.
Texas needs to make that.
That's where it gets a little suspicious.
Well, when you want to upgrade to a hotter girlfriend,
that's
yes, you
when
do.
You, do it.
You hook your girlfriend up with somebody else. You foist her onto
somebody else. You know, it seemed like you and Tina really hit it off last time we all went out to dinner.
You mean
your girlfriend?
Yeah.
I think y'all be good together.
You've been looking at her ass forever. Just make it happen. You've been checking her out. I mean, eyeing her.
Mm-hmm.
Make it happen.
And she's got a great personality. You just got to sell it. You can't pause like I did.
Yeah, you can't. Honestly, anytime you're selling personality, trying to play matchmaker, you've already failed.
Well, guy to guy, you have.
Yeah, you're selling it to a guy.
And actually, even chick to chick.
Yeah, you can't start with the person.
But they care about that more.
They don't care about that at first.
No, they care about your bank account. We care about their boobs.
Boom, there you go. Exactly.
Or legs. Or ass.
Well, you know, pretty face is important, too.
That's true. Yeah. No, as long as we stay on the superficial train here.
Oh, for men, yeah. Yeah. For women, they're not right. as shallow, but they're different. They're different shallow.
I didn't want you to give me intelligence. Right. They're different shallow. They're when shallow
you,
is money.
When you meet a woman, one of the first three questions that she's going to ask you is, what do you do for a living?
Yep.
And a man may not ask a woman what she does for a living until like a third date. He'd be like, what do you, you're marketing. That's interesting. That's after
and it
you've
could really
had
be 2 years, 2 years into the relationship. That you really know what she does.
Exactly.
What does she do? She's at Dell.
She's at Dell.
What does she do at Dell?
She's been there 4 years.
Maybe accounting. I don't know. I know she works at Dell.
She works
at Dell. I honestly...
She works at a startup. You probably haven't heard of it.
It's Dell.
No, it's just her and this one guy, and they do everything.
Exactly. Guys can't tell you what they women do for a living, but a woman, she knows exactly what her man does for a living.
Seinfeld, I always said a good bit about that. It's like, oh yeah, you could be at a slaughterhouse. Oh. And if you think she's attractive, you go, all right, we'll go home, clean up, and we'll go get something to eat.
Exactly. No, a man will ask out a woman who's cleaning the floor in front of him. A woman will never ask out the man who's cleaning the floor in front of her. Never. A man will like, she's hot, cleaning the floor. We're like, excuse me, when you get done scrubbing the floor, can mm-hmm. I interest you in a coffee? A woman, she'll never do it. He could be smoking hot. She'll be like, nah, I'm good. He could look like Denzel Washington.
Oh, and she'll Georgie, never... I love cashmere.
All right, let's get back
Costanza
to it.
Costanza sleeping with the
custodian. That was great. Was that wrong?
Yeah. Oh, God. That was some of the best Costanza BSing trying to get out of that. Because if I would have known that was wrong...
I got to tell you, I knew that was frowned upon, I wouldn't have done it.
You got to plead ignorance on this one, guys.
Jesus.
Fantastic. All right, speaking of pleading ignorance, a lot of that going on with the Texans. Okay, so they're cutting...
One more college story.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Virginia apparently is looking at Tony Elliott to be their head coach.
Oh.
Of course, we haven't mentioned this because... Hell, every single second it feels like someone's leaving a job in college football. Bronco Mendenhall retired.
I know that. I didn't even realize that. Somebody mentioned that to me, and I was like, "What?"
Yeah,
it didn't come up as a headline. It wasn't really.
It barely did because there's other stuff going on.
Yeah, I guess so.
But Tony Elliott's the OC there. So Dabo's really gonna kind of have to reset that. You lose your DC, you lose your OC. Obviously, they lost Jeff Scott, who was co-OC a couple of years ago. You know, we talked about how one of the reasons they were so good was, sorry, Texas fans, the alignment of the coaching
staff.
Right,
stability.
Which was a good coaching staff.
No, you're right about that. They were actually able to keep a lot. He had Venables there forever.
Yeah.
Even though
that's how they got Justin Ross, who's from the state of Alabama, came down to Alabama and Clemson, and he said, look, honestly, the deciding factor was their coaching staff's been there.
It's been there a long time. Actually, you know what? A lot of stability being rocked, if you will, because Oklahoma State had a lot of stability going, too.
True.
And now taking Jim Knowles out of the mix there. But, yeah, that's what the coaching carousel does, man. It makes life hell for a lot of kind of startup mid-major programs in college football, if you will.
But at least they're trying to win, unlike your Texans.
The Texans are... trying to lose, and they're doing a damn good job of it, actually, because they're losing in historic fashion. It's really, really bad. And most recently, and you sent this story, I didn't realize this, they're cutting Zach Cunningham.
Yeah.
And now they disciplined him last week. They actually benched him at one point, and they said it wasn't for performance-based. It was actually for disciplinary reasons, and that was weird, too.
Yeah, it was a healthy scratch last week because reports were that he kept being late to practice.
And that was the second time this year that he's gotten benched for disciplinary reasons.
Yes.
Brad, that has to be tough, though, if you're a good player. You know, they signed him to a $58 million extension last year. I'm not trying to excuse him being late to practice. But,
You're a professional. Man.
But that's got to be a weird spot. You played for the Lions. What's it like going to practice every day knowing that you're not winning?
And yeah.
In this case... the organization's trying to lose.
Yeah, but that's the whole point, right? You're a professional. You can pay the whole lot of money. Exactly. To show up on time and do your job, even though, yes, it is tough morale-wise because the organization is intentionally tanking. And they just signed him to an extension.
It's 2020.
I was saying, so
four year extension for $58 million. He's 26.
That's how Nick Caserio. He is trying to get as many mercenary deals, 1 year deals, and 2 year deals in there as possible. All long term contracts he wants. He wants nothing to do with. And I think this is just a part of a long term contract he wants nothing to do with. He's if you're gonna rebuild it, from the ground up, and that's what he's doing. He's going to, at one point, be able to cut everybody on this roster and overhaul the whole damn thing.
But this goes to the culture. You want to have the culture fit, right?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer. I don't like when you have a $58 million investment, and then you go, hey, you need to show up to practice on time. And you don't work with him to figure out why he's showing up late. You don't try and fix that problem. That's not fixing the culture. That's hoping you find guys who fit your culture. Where when you're paying someone $58 million, you need to try and make him fit your culture. But you didn't. You first of all, he's a 4-3 linebacker, and you're playing him in a 3-4. Yeah. So you already are playing him in the wrong system. You can trade him to something else. But to cut him this late in the season because he's showing up late, because you can't go and help him. It's the same thing with DeAndre Hopkins. They got rid of him. Hey, man, they're button heads. But instead of trying to fix this, we're just going to trade him.
Yeah,
that's not culture. That's how you lose if you don't fix your problem.
That's a really good point and well said. That's also why we brought up during the trade deadline or before it, Zach Cunningham made sense. We know you're trying to lose.
Justin Reed made sense.
Right. They don't get as many picks him. Back. And now you end up cutting him?
I'm with. And they disciplined Justin Reed, too. They benched him 2 weeks ago for disciplinary reasons. And he's going into he's going to be it's a contract year for him. He's going to be a free agent next year. And it's like, why not trade that guy? He's one of your best players. Same thing. This guy, trade him. There's trade value there. So with Nick Caserio, that's some stuff I disagree with. I don't understand, really, if you are truly rebuilding, there's value in these players. Yeah. Why not get the value out of them?
Cunningham is going to go on waivers, and you know the way that works. The order of worst record to best are going to have the chance to claim him, and they would do that at the rate of his current contract. That's $900,000 for the remainder of the season. If you've got cap space and you need someone, and Patrick hit the nail on the head, specifically if you're in a 4-3, he'd be someone to pick.
Oh, the Patriots will pick him up or something.
Right, because we know they run everything, too.
You know what? The Packers might. Remember the Packers picked up Jalen Smith briefly, and they let him go. So the Packers might.
Yeah, that's true.
Teams are just looking for linebacker depth.
Packers make sense. We'll see if they get all the way down to that record right there. So, yeah, Texans doing Texans things.
Exactly.
Nothing really changing there.
Play stupid games, win stupid effing prizes. That's the Texans.
That's it. All right, so PFF, Pro Football Focus, gave their third quarter all-pro team. This is not the guys that are best in the third quarter. This is three quarters of the way through the season. You can read that a couple different ways.
It's Pro Football Focus. Some people would believe that.
That's what I'm saying.
Pro Football Focus does stuff like that. Like the best third quarter player?
Here's our best third quarter nose guard. He sucks in the first. We don't know what it is. He's not showing up
something
on time.
Something about halftime. Yeah. It really gets him going.
He's an adjustment guy. So no surprise. We kind of talked about this yesterday, guys. Tom Brady is your quarterback. Second team, though, this is where it's not a surprise if you look at a lot of advanced metrics. We've mentioned it on this show. Kirk Cousins is your second team guy.
That is a surprise to
me. Kirk Cousins is having a year, guys.
Man,
do you like that?
Well, you know what? Aaron Rodgers has missed time. Kyler Murray has missed time.
Dak has gone down a little bit.
So when you start thinking about it, yeah, he's been consistent, I guess.
Consistently okay.
Consistently exactly average.
Right, but if you look at advanced metrics, he's actually been.
No, this is the biggest case I've ever heard for against advanced metrics.
Yeah, he really
Kirk Cousins is the second.
It really
there is. There's no better case than the guy who just lost to the Lions.
Yep. Pro Football Focus should have changed that. Like, now we can't do
this. We were talking about it, the projections and some of the SP rankings and trying to project not only records but advanced metrics. It's been a rough year for them.
This is true.
They had Clemson in the top five for the first 7 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
So, because it's all preseason. Yeah. Drop that. Change that.
You know what? One thing I will say, they loved Oklahoma State.
They did. Metrics. You're right.
Early on, they loved him. And I don't know why, but we found out later.
Jonathan Taylor is your running back, and you've got Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon's having a hell of a year.
He is having a good year. Taylor's got to be your guy.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor is probably the best running back in football right now.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp. Hey, did you hear that football answer that Cooper Kupp gave a reporter?
No, I haven't. I got it.
Fire zone.
I have it bookmarked.
That was great. You got it. You'll love it. Yeah, you'll love it.
I have it bookmarked.
Second team. Justin Jefferson, also Tyreek Hill. Guys, Jefferson is that LSU team, the more you watch.
Yeah, man. Jefferson's the real deal.
You got to be kidding me. Chase Jefferson, and they also
That's why Kirk Cousins is the second-team quarterback. A lot of it is
you're right.
Justin Jefferson.
You're right. Mark Andrews is your tight end. George Kittle is second-team. Second team, your flex, Debo Samuel.
Man, he's a wide receiver with running back tendencies.
Uh-huh.
So it's Cordarrelle Patterson now.
Yep,
and they use him all over the field.
And Cordell actually is very Debo-esque.
They listed him at safety, backup safety.
Cordarrelle
2 weeks
Patterson?
Ago. Yeah, They got him playing everything. I'm not joking. They listed him at backup safety.
That is playing everything.
Yeah, he's playing everything.
Tyron Smith is a backup second team tackle. Obviously, he missed some time too, mm-hmm. but he's yeah. really having
he's still one of the best.
A hell of a year. Creed Humphrey is rated as the best PFF center, and of course, he's going to be first team. Creed Humphrey has had a hell of a year. Remember, he was a second round pick, but he's allowed just 9 pressures in 12 games. And by far the best PFF blocking grade of 93.5.
They rebuilt that. They rebuilt that Kansas City offensive line. I'm just waiting on it to flourish, but he's been a big part of it.
They're getting better, man, and especially in the interior. And then Trey Smith, the other kid they took from Tennessee, and both those have been awesome picks. They brought in Thuney to play guard. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get both those tackles kind of up to speed, including Orlando Brown, who made change, right? He shifted over to the left side. Zach Martin is your first team right guard.
No,
Penei Sewell with Detroit is your first team right tackle.
Interesting.
That surprised me.
It is, because he started out, he was struggling early.
He was,
on.
Yeah. He so if you were just following from like week 5 and before, that would surprise you a lot. Trying to think of who else here kind of stands out. No shock with Aaron Donald or Miles Garrett.
Nope.
TJ Watt is second team.
Nope.
Max Crosby, if you've not been watching the Raiders,
he is.
Crosby's legit.
No, he's the real deal. He's in a defensive player of the year conversation.
He is.
Yeah.
No, he's had a hell of a year. Trying to think of who else kind of wraps this up. Were there any other Cowboys?
No.
So no digs on either one, because it gets back to your PFF thing. That's what I wanted to
hear. He's like one of the 100. He's like, honestly, I'm not joking. He's ranked like 77 to like 100 something, depending on which week you looked at him.
Linebacker, Devondre Campbell and DeMario Davis are your starters.
What about Micah?
Micah's second team.
I don't like that.
Even though they say he carries the highest grade among all linebackers.
I take that back. He doesn't play it full time. Sometimes they move him to defensive ends and move him to linebackers.
But he's got the highest grade of all linebackers.
Yeah, I don't understand.
He's got to be on this list somewhere. If you want to do a flex O, do flex D.
They got him on the second team, but I think he should be on the first team.
A.J. Terrell and Jalen Ramsey are your corners. No surprise
at
all.
Adrian Phillips?
And that's what I wanted to finish on.
Wow.
Adrian Phillips is second team on this.
Well done. He's having a hell of a year, man. And I hope he's not hurt too bad. I mean, Patrick gave us the update yesterday. At least it's not going to be surgery. Just don't know how long he's going to be out.
He's got the highest PFF coverage grade of 90 of any safety.
Man, how about
four
that?
Four picks, four pass breakups.
Good for him.
Dude, and that's the other thing. It gets back to exactly what Belichick does. This guy, Adrian Phillips, was a damn good special teams player, and that's how he was making Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
But he sees that, and he goes, no, I'm going to turn you into a Pro Bowl safety.
Yeah, I will say that Coach Aquino told me that he was the only player that he's ever coached that played every and knew every position in the secondary.
Mm.
And that was when he was on the 40 acres. That was a while ago. So he's a good, smart football IQ.
I thought Vasher would have been there.
Vasher played safety and corner and nickel, but he said every position. I mean, strong safety, free safety, right corner, left corner, dime, nickel, everything.
Justin Tucker is your kicker. No surprise there. He's missed just twice on the season. Impressive stuff.
Yeah, it is impressive.
All right, there's a little pro football for you. We'll be back to tell you what we're number one at or in. We are number one. Yes. This show did it. We're proud, but we're not really all the way proud. We'll get into that. DJ Khaled. You really are dating yourself, Patrick. You weren't lying when you gave the time.
And they stay there.
Come on.
Oh,
that's great. Well done.
We got to celebrate the victories, guys. Celebrate the victories.
Well done, sir.
We don't want to scratch your own back, Patrick, so will you do it for us?
I will scratch it on the Supreme Lending pick'em. Out of every individual group who picked, the winners are the best team. You didn't win any prizes for it.
No.
But I want to give you the accolades.
Thank you.
Kevin Dunn, Rod Babers are your top individual picking team of the entire contest.
Well done.
We're number one.
Good job.
Now, is this like one of those?
And it still wasn't that good.
But if it wasn't.
It wasn't that good, actually. I think it was like 55%.
We kind of fell apart lately. Because we were in the 60s.
Our last 3 weeks were bad.
Yeah, you went 2-3 in that last week.
We were 2-3, I think, the last 3 weeks we've been 2-3.
And yeah. we were at least 3-2, I felt
so
like,
we were,
every week.
We were in such a lead. We had such a lead that we still ended up with the best record, even though we were 2-3 in the last 2 weeks.
So
Pat, 3 weeks, sorry.
So, Patrick, so we're not just talking about horn shows.
No, so the horn, you're running away by the horn, because the horn comes in last place out of the four different teams.
Yeah, so we lost. As a team,
you lost.
And by the way, almost yearly.
No, I think we lost last year, too. I think you're right. Yeah. I think we were last year,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, but yeah, Coke FM, Supreme Lending, and Chris Watt
is
Realty.
The sports station is last in picking football games.
Almost yearly.
Wow.
Well, if you've ever hung out with a guy who talks too much at the party, he is always the one to bet against.
You're right.
He's the typical one who goes, right. Man, I got to tell you, I see him. His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
All right, so.
Yeah, we got it.
So we had the best individual record, but the horn was last.
So you were 36-29 was y'all's finishing record.
We should have gotten to 40 wins, man.
We should have easily got to 40. It's terrible.
I agree. You know what? Next year I'll come back and help you some. We'll get you up to 40.
You may get us up to 45.
Yeah, Bucky and Aaron came in second at 31-34. So y'all are the only ones above 500.
What the hell did Chad and Trey do? Well, I listened to their show.
Chad and Trey and Snoop and Jeff, because Craig doesn't pick. He lets Snoop and Jeff do it. They were both tied, I believe.
At 29-36, yes. Both of them tied at 29-36.
Yeah, man.
I actually think Chad and Trey finished off strong.
No, they
did. Remember how bad they were?
They actually came back and finished strong. Yeah, they did a good job later on. But you know what? Isaiah, I think, started helping them.
Isaiah started doing the
show. I think Isaiah started helping them a little bit, too. But we got listen, we need to, as a team, as the horn, right, as a group, we must do better. This is starting to get embarrassing. We're losing some of our credibility.
Well, I will tell you,
sports, you know, and sports analysts, I should say.
Down the hall, I heard Eric Rain saying, "I listened to the horn. That's why my picks were so bad this week."
Oh,
so come on now.
Wow,
we gotta get rid of that stigma.
And I want to say that Bob Cole was killing it.
Yeah, Bob does pretty well.
He was doing pretty well.
Bob did well. He ended up 33-32. Okay. He went 1-4 in that last week, which did not help.
Yeah, that's what.
Who was second to us?
Second to you guys. Let's see.
Oh, it takes like.
I think there's a few guys that were 34 and 31.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
From Supreme Lending had one. Scott Dreisbach and Chris Waters, Vince Gonzalez.
Scott Dreisbach. He was a quarterback at Michigan. That's unfair. He should be booted out of this.
And E. Raines did go 34-31 as well.
Yeah. No, E. Raines takes it seriously.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
We got to do better next year. I'm start calling some people out. We got to do better. And we need to lead the way. I hear on this show, we should be winning 60% of our picking at 60%.
This show probably watches
more football than they do.
Right.
So we should be picking better. So.
I didn't want to say it that way, but you finished it off for me, so I appreciate that.
No, we do. We watch more football than
we do. And so
that's not anything shame. They probably watch more overall sports. I mean, you know, they watch more. I don't know what the hell they watch more of, but something.
Right.
Not football, though.
No. Maybe soccer.
Soccer. There's soccer out there. I was going to say baseball, but you watch more baseball than anybody I know, so it ain't baseball either.
E. Hogan watches a ton of baseball.
E. Hogan watches a ton of baseball. That is true.
So
Zay watches more basketball than most. I would say Patrick watches a lot of basketball, too.
Zay and Patrick probably watch more basketball than anyone on the station.
That might be true.
Yeah, Patrick watches a lot of basketball. I can tell from listening to InSincerious, so they might be the basketball watchers on the show. BK used to love it.
Yeah, if we do that, then we're leaning on you, Patrick.
Yeah, then we go basketball. Yeah. And also, remember, bad luck Patrick always pick against me. It's his team.
I was at the last couple weeks.
I could bet well until I got to the party. And then something happened at the party where my picks would start getting more erratic. I don't know what happened.
It was all those edibles you were getting.
I was going to say, it's what it is.
You talked about that earlier.
Bucky's like that a little bit. Sometimes Bucky's picks, you just go against him. Like, he just says, oh, flat out.
Tom McKay's had fun with that.
Tom McKay literally has gone against Bucky a lot, and I think he's got a winning record.
That's what we need to get. We need to see what the records are. When you go against Bucky.
Just go flat out against Buck, man.
I'm telling you, if you would have gone against me in college football the last couple of weeks, you would have made some serious money. So that was my gift to you.
Yeah, I just think that you were so ahead of the game early on in the season. There had to be a regression to me. Because honestly, I think you were picking about close to 70%.
I was doing...
I'm talking about against a spread almost early on. You were killing it.
No, and Dave said I was actually in the upper 60s.
Yeah.
I think maybe 69.
I like that.
A little shout out.
Nice.
So we just need to figure out, Kevin, you need to make more adjustments.
Yes.
You're a first half coach. You got to make some adjustments at halftime next year.
I wish I'd have put money on your first half picks. I'd have made some money.
Yeah.
But then everything started. Remember, basically, you were ahead of Vegas on Clemson. You were ahead of Vegas on Iowa State.
Iowa State.
There were like four teams that you were ahead of, and then Vegas started adjusting their lines, basically. And that's when you started losing, because you basically kept, honestly, Patrick's right, you didn't adjust. You kept your early season analysis instead of adjusting your model throughout the season.
I would love to argue with both of y'all right now.
You know what I mean?
Trust me, I've already gone through it. That's exactly what happened. Well, and the other thing, too, this was. By the way, we're gonna do our picks tomorrow. We're gonna have our guy on to give a pick during one and done.
Oh,
so
nice! Yeah,
I want to say this now, so I don't say it then. This is a bad year to be betting on games.
Yeah, it is.
College football and pro football
chaos.
Every NFL team has had a bewildering loss. College football is we thought it was just one team at the top.
No.
They're all just kind of hanging out there.
Yeah, like you said, there's no great team in
college
football.
Which has made it fun.
It's made it fun, but it's hard as hell to bet on.
Made it a lot. And the NFL, time to lose money.
Like you said, the NFL's crazy, too. Home teams have a losing record against the spread.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a crazy, wacky year. I think it's going to be the first time. It'd be the worst record right now if it tracks, if it continues. The worst record for home teams against the spread in the Super Bowl era, if it continues. So it's a weird year to bet on. Football.
Period. Hell, we went through our own power rankings, the three of us yesterday in the NFL, and we were all over the place with each other, and understandably so, but then we got to, what, 4, 5, 6, 7, and we go, all right, well.
Yeah, any of these could win on any given night.
Yes.
But then you throw in this year, there's like, I mean, the Jets and the Texans and those teams at the bottom, but there's a lot of middle teams, like the Broncos out of nowhere decided that they could beat anybody on a given night.
Right.
That's a good point.
And the Texans beat the Titans. I understand the Titans are missing some people.
Yeah.
But that's still.
No, you're right about that. No, because even like the Bills, right? The Bills are supposed to be a great team. The Bills are like the top three offense in the league, and they got kind of three inexplicable random losses. Like, how the hell did that happen?
7-5 and three of them don't make sense.
Yeah.
They also lost to a team who threw the ball three times.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
If I would have given you that bet beginning of the year, would you have taken it?
No, yeah, we all would have been like, well, is it Bill Belichick?
Right, yeah, exactly. That would have been the question.
That should have been the caveat.
I would have thought it was playing Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they finally figured out Tannehill, didn't they?
Yeah, and Derrick Henry's
400 yards rushing in a game.
Downhill.
Yeah.
So we are number one. We'll take it. We're more about us. We're like one of those players that we're having an All-American year, and our team is 5-6. Well, we ain't an All-American here.
Yeah, we're just like Michael Jordan. We want our team to win, and we just want to be the reason they win.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's what MJ wanted. That's all.
And that and a little bit of gambling. So it all works together. We're going to be back to tell you what is on tap tonight. This is The Horn.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash you?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That's...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to RBKD. Last segment of the show. Getting ready to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. When we get done, we give you up to Under the Lights.
Let's do it.
And they have a great show planned for you. As a matter of fact, LBJ head coach Jamal Fenner is going to be on.
God
LBJ
bless him,
running
man.
Back Cedric Alexander. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that story is heartbreaking. That community has really rallied behind LBJ after a tragedy struck that community. UIL Director of Athletics, Dr. Susan Elza, you got to put that on there. Statesman Journalist Thomas Jones.
Dr. Joe Biden, Rod.
Well, yeah, this doctor, man, you
doctor,
earned that.
You earned a doctor. Give me the doctor.
That's why it's Dr. J. Dr.
Yeah.
J, anybody calling him Julius?
Only at UMass.
He became a doctor after that?
He became a doctor after
when
that.
When did he get the doctor nickname?
I don't know if you would have had that.
And how
UMass.
Did he get? Do we know how he acquired the doctors? Because he was surgical in the way he was on the court.
I would have heard it years ago. I don't remember.
So okay, yeah,
that's a good question. I'll probably go spend 45 minutes looking at that tonight.
Yeah, that's under the
lights.
That's
what's on tap for me.
That's what's on tap.
Wikipedia.
Oh man, trust me, you go rabbit holing. It can happen. You can spend a couple hours trying to find some curious factoid to find out about it, and end up taking all damn night. All right,
well, that's the thing, because you get on something else.
Yeah, because
I was doing that last night.
Links to something else, exactly.
I was on an assistant coach and then a coaching staff, and then I started just clicking on something else. I'm
exactly.
like, how the hell did I get here?
Now, yeah,
it's like,
now,
oh yeah, Jim Knowles.
Yeah, and it's an hour and a half later, and you're like, what am I doing?
Why am I looking at naked women?
All right, now how did you get from Jim Knowles to naked women?
Well, that's the rabbit hole we're talking about.
It
always ends with naked women.
Exactly.
It always ends with naked women.
It was a big rabbit hole.
Okay.
All right, that's going to be it for us. We'll try and stay on the air as long as we can.
Please.
Hey, do check out Under the Lights.
That's
really
right.
good
Under
stuff
the
there. For Patrick Davis, who was awesome. Patrick,
Great
we
job,
appreciate
Patrick.
It.
As
Last
always,
couple days.
Bro.
And for Rod Babers, I'm Kevin Dunn. Y'all have an awesome night. Peace.